Good morning. Today is Monday, February the 10th. Joining us this morning from Humboldt County Office of Education, Chris Harley.
Edumacation. That was nice.
Edumacation. Yeah.
Nice. Good
Almost
morning, sir.
Almost slid it past, huh? Yeah. And you brought somebody in who's not an employee, I don't think.
Yeah, I brought a guest, Battalion Chief from Arcata Fire, Sean Campbell, joined me this morning. Talk about some of our programs.
Hi, Sean.
Hello.
So did Chris indicate to you what our first moment of pleasure is here?
He did.
All right. Well, since you've had a chance, I'll give you a choice. Not that it's going to increase your odds, but Missouri or Monkey Wrench?
I'm going to go with Monkey Wrench.
All right. Where did the Monkey Wrench get that name?
Sean?
I have to say the carnival, maybe.
According to tradition, this wrench with a movable jaw adjustment by a screw was first made by a London blacksmith named Charles Monkey, and the tool was originally called a Monkey Wrench in his honor.
All right.
Okay.
Interesting.
But since few people knew the true origin of the word, it soon became corrupted into monkey wrench.
There we go.
So another Americanization.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe Missouri would have been a better pick.
Next
month.
Perhaps.
You should probably read the book.
Yeah. No, I should just get a
copy. No, he doesn't read books. He's an educator. He doesn't read books. So why Sean here, Chris?
Well, you know, we have got some interesting work going on with school safety programs, and I wanted to bring Sean along and talk about some of the work that they do with schools. But I'd like to open with a program to make folks aware of that we'll start rolling out in a few pilot programs, and that's the program's called Focus Program. And it actually originated in Stanislaus County, Office of Education. And what they did is they essentially created an app so that when emergency personnel are out on the field after hours and they respond to an incident, it could be law enforcement, it could be fire, it could be an ambulance, but when they respond to an incident at a home where there's children present, they actually have agreements with schools that the emergency personnel can send the school a simple notification saying a traumatic incident happened at Johnny's house last night. And that's it. No information. No privacy, you know, protocols being violated.
So mom and dad don't have to make the phone call.
Or if they weren't able to make the phone call.
Well.
Yeah, just a heads up to the school that, you know, just keep an eye on this person. Something traumatic happened at their home. And so such a simple idea that somebody took and actually made it come to fruition. And we're excited that Arcata Fire was one of our first responders to indicate that they would join us in doing a pilot. So it's kind of neat to see how that works between our schools and kind of roll it out from there.
I thought you were going to say one of the first responders to respond.
You could say that.
Well, right over you, though, huh?
It's still early, man. Still early.
Okay. So, Sean, another thing you guys get to do, huh, when you respond to an event?
Yes, and a good example would be the February 2nd fire we had in Arcata, an apartment complex. There was one of the witnesses to that fire was one of the complexes right nearby, and unfortunately that was a fatal fire, so that would be a perfect example to notify the schools through the Focus program to let them know that this child has been through something traumatic and just to be heads up.
So it's more just of a trigger that, and I guess you text in the person's name or email in the name and...
Yeah, it's an app, and I believe the plan would be we go through Humboldt County Office of Education because they have access to all of the schools instead of trying to figure out...
Oh, and then you just push it out.
And they would push it out.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And again, we wouldn't give any personal information other than this child has been through something. Be aware. And it's as simple as that.
I would think that everybody would pick up on this. Has there been any pushback?
No, none at all. I think we just have to start small and make sure we got it, get the kinks worked out, you know, run it as a pilot, get it running smooth, and then start outsourcing it. The biggest struggle will always be to find, like, who's the person at the school that's going to be responsible for receiving the messages and, you know, all those little protocols like that. We just want to start with a couple of folks, and then once we get it kind of dialed in, then we'll, you know, open it up to others that want to participate. And from what I understand in Stanislaus, it didn't take very long to kind of get up to speed on it, and that it's working really well. Because you don't want it to be, like, one more thing to do, right? And folks out there responding are busy enough as it is, so the simpler the better.
I would think, like the attendance office or administration?
It's
received as an email, right?
Yeah, or it's a text on this app, yeah. So,
oh, okay.
I don't think it'll be complicated. Just got to work out some of the bugs and get it going, but it sure will be helpful. You know, I can't imagine the number of times at the school site where you're working with a student and you're like, what is going on? This guy or young lady is having a bad day. And then after conversations and you dig a little deeper, you find out something really bad happened at their house last night. You know, and potentially you could resolve any of those issues or behavioral issues before things go sideways for them, you know,
so
just,
it comes
just by
in,
knowing.
It comes in through public safety or law enforcement.
That's right.
I would think that funnel could be a little bit wider, too, eventually. Has Stanislaw expanded it out to include
things? Yeah, it's a good question. From what I understand, it's pretty much just emergency personnel. So that could be ambulance, it could be fire, it could be police. You know, anybody that could be responding to a home for an emergency situation. I think that's what they've kept it to.
So like a car crash or something like that, would that be enough to trigger?
Could be.
Absolutely. Sure. I think anything that has the potential to create trauma for that child, that would be something we would want to report just to be on the safe side.
I would think that there could be a whole avalanche of these types of things that could happen in the future. I mean, once the concept is there, and then it just...
Sure.
Kind of takes on its own life.
Well, that's what we talk about, you know, and you know, I've had that conversation here before about trying to have more interagency and interdepartment communications and partnerships. And you can't think of this is low hanging fruit. This is a perfect example of why we need to work together, and just sharing simple information can go a long ways in helping everybody out.
Okay, so now what are we going to do for the rest of the show?
Well, we got some other things to talk about. You know, we've worked on the school safety plans. You talked about that a lot.
I was thinking, Sean, with some of the stuff that we hear about, sometimes it's the live shooter, and that's when the cops will talk about it. But there are other situations. You know, fire is certainly one. Bombs and things like that. The side of the ledger we don't want to spend any time thinking about, you guys got to be thinking about.
Right. Arcata Fire's tried to always be proactive in the schools, and even though we have the name fire department, it's kind of a misnomer of what we really do. We're involved with medical aids, we're involved with lift assist. Now the big buzzword is the active shooter. And so 6 years ago, Arcata Fire worked with Humboldt State University PD and Arcata PD to develop the countywide protocol for criminal multi-casualty incident. Protocol for law enforcement and fire to respond together, and we've been slowly training up all law enforcement, all fire agencies throughout the county. It's been adopted by the Humboldt County Fire Chiefs and law enforcement.
We'll talk about that in detail when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chris and Sean. You guys are a team now. Kind of like a comedy team.
Hey, there you go.
Without the comedy.
Just give us a chance.
Yeah. Again. Okay, fine. Back for round two. The concept of an active shooter and I suppose perhaps it would be better to find as a live incident. I mean, we could have earthquakes here, and it's going to be far more impactful for a lot of folks than a live shooter is. Those types of scenarios, whether it's at Humboldt State, whether it's at the high school, or whether it's at one of the elementary schools or junior highs, is the response the same, or does it get dictated based on campus specific?
It's a good question. I think the first thing that I would say is the response would be different in the sense that a natural disaster such as a large-scale earthquake is not criminal in nature. The criminal in nature brings a whole nother aspect to those types of incidents. Right now, you know, if we look at the last active shooter situation that occurred in McKinleyville a couple years ago on Sutter, they had agencies responding from Mendocino and Lake County, at every law enforcement agency in Humboldt County responding to that, hundreds of officers. And so an active shooter at a school or a basketball game or something along that lines is going to just have a different pulse to it. It's going to be high intensity. Law enforcement is going to go in and stop the threat. And fire, where we normally stage on a high-risk incident, you know, domestic violence or something, we're asked to stage. We don't do that in these types of cases. We would go into what's called a cold zone, and we have to listen to law enforcement and kind of figure out where they're working. And one of the most important things is for fire and law enforcement to team up and create unified commands so that we can start communicating and figure out where we can operate safely. And then we'd go in there and manage the injuries very similar, except for in an active shooter situation, we do what we call a firefighter sandwich. They're going to go in with law enforcement and have force protection as we go in and pull patients out.
That's right, because you guys don't get to play with guns.
Yeah, we don't play with guns.
Yeah, which is wise.
I would suspect.
Yeah, when you got guys that know what they're doing, why do you...
Yeah, we don't want the cops pulling hose lines off our engine, so we try to stay away from their
guns. You're presuming that they would have the ability to do that, aren't you?
They're pretty sharp.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty sharp.
Okay. Let's see, I still remember Outsizer's comments, and it just kind of, it's baked into the program historically.
He's an anomaly. He did both.
Yes.
He's an anomaly.
So, Chris, do you guys, through the County Office of Ed, I know we used to have the earthquake drills, but we also had, used to have the nuclear things, too. It seems kind of...
Falling aircraft.
Yeah, yeah. When you do those sessions, do you bring in the law enforcement? Do you bring in public safety as part of that whole exercise? I know the every 15 minutes thing brings in the cops, but it doesn't necessarily bring in fire.
Yeah, the interesting part is, you know, each school site is responsible to develop their own school comprehensive safety plan. So their job is to make sure they're communicating with their local emergency agencies so that they're together, so that when a school's designing a plan, it's not just done in a vacuum, that it should be outreach to the local responders so that the people can get on the same page. That doesn't always happen. And so we've brought back a school, the School Law Enforcement Network committee or group that used to be in existence in Humboldt County for a long time. And then kind of, I think they just kind of ran out of some initiatives to pursue. But with this new focus program coming, and particularly the active shooter scenario that you guys just are talking about, I realized in a meeting actually that Maggie Fleming pulled together, and I was really appreciative of her in doing that and talking with retired Sheriff Thomas Dewey. I think he was at Humboldt State, and he works with Sean and his team on developing the active shooter protocol. In that meeting, I realized schools really aren't familiar with this new procedure about how law enforcement and emergency personnel are going to react if something like this happened. So what we've done is we've pulled that committee back together, because there's some very important things that we should be on the same page on. So we had our first meeting. We had a really nice turnout there. And we will definitely be, you know, broadcasting that out more to the local schools so that folks at least understand what's going to happen on their campus. And they need to know where not to go and where to go. You know, and this concept of a cold zone and a warm zone and a hot zone, for me, really, it makes a lot of sense. But I could imagine, you know, I think back to my principal days, I want to make sure my staff's going to the cold zone. And the wrestling coach or whoever isn't, you know, heading into the hot zone. But right now, I don't think schools have a full understanding of that. So that's going to be our work moving forward, first priority.
Well, I would think that the magnitude would be significantly different of developing a plan. I mean, if you've got Arcata High versus Garfield.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Slightly different.
You know, one is run down the hill,
yeah,
get out of sight. The other may not be able to.
That's right.
So do you work with the principals or whoever has that responsibility, both of you guys, to try to point out, you know, here are the do's, here are the don'ts, and let them then kind of have some direction? Or do they come back to you with a plan and then you chew that up?
Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple things. One, you have to look at the age of the students, where, you know, high school students can go through the run, hide, fight protocol that is put out there through our local law enforcement and FEMA recognized program. And then the younger kids, it's a lot different. You know, you start talking about the elementary schools, you might not be able to follow that protocol, so they might have to change things a little bit to fit their needs. We do work with the schools in our district. I know Arcata Police and Humboldt State also work, and they have programs that they can teach staff on how to deal with those types of incidents based on age level. We do a lot of on-site training with different, you know, kind of a walk, crawl version, not a full scale, but we will go out there on a weekend and run some smaller drills with some staff members or...
Just so they can kind of see what
Well, you want them
happens,
to have confidence
experience what
in
happens,
it, right?
Yeah.
You want them to have confidence. It's one thing to show someone a PowerPoint or explain what they should do, but when they go through that process and realize that they can actually do a lot by just throwing something or hitting someone with a fire extinguisher, those types of things to defend themselves, it just gives them a whole nother level of confidence, which is important.
Yeah, I would think a fire extinguisher could be considered a deadly weapon.
Definitely a debilitating weapon. You take that to the face, it's gonna slow you down.
Yeah, it'll make your turn your day into a bad one.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to talk shop, third attempt with the Chris and Sean Comedy Hour.
Chris and Sean Show.
Yeah, here we go.
Ba-dum-bum.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDAC, Humble Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Guys, this concept of live shooter, live incident kinds of things that are new, that are different, that are requiring a different approach to education, to public safety. What is the next thing that's out there on the horizon? Do you have any sense of where it goes? Because you could drive yourself batty chasing this stuff all the time and not get job one taken care of.
I don't have any sense on it. I know that some of the things that have popped up since I've been in the fire service, confined space was never a thing. That's a thing. Active shooter is a new one. Bioterrorism, all of these things that have occurred, a lot of them post 9/11, just seem to grow, and they were running into more and more, so I can't imagine what the next one is. It's maybe cyber related. It's hard to say, but I don't know how that would affect us. We're definitely not computer wizards, most of us anyways. We're more of a hands-on.
Yeah.
I think the next thing is just how are we going to continue to be more efficient and effective in how we respond to any of the issues at our sites and not get in each other's way and be effective in how we respond. We can always improve our communications around things like we've learned this year with the PSPS events, the power outage events. That was a new thing for California schools up here. That wasn't something that we've experienced before. And it actually kind of turned out to be positive as far as learning how to adapt to power outages and how to make sure the show goes on and continues, you know, despite that, particularly when you know it's coming. That was like a real test for us, and we're thinking about, you know, alternative power grids now and how do we maintain our, you know, like at HCOE, we had payroll due, so we were scrapping generators together because people want to get paid, you know, and we figured it out. So things like that will continue to pop up and challenge us. But I think the key is how do we continue just to improve our working relations with all the different partners that help kids at schools?
I would suspect it could be something along the lines of how do you make abnormal normal?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, a power outage, I mean, earthquakes,
right.
You know, we have that stuff.
It happens.
I feel like we're reactive in how we respond to a lot of these things, and I think there's areas to improve on being more proactive.
That's
and
right.
The PSPS is a good example of that. Everyone has experienced power outages before, but all of a sudden a 5-day power outage, we all saw the fueling stations are packed full, the grocery stores are empty.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, we could have done better being proactive with that and getting the message out. Just one of those things, you don't know what you don't know, and you don't really know how long these things are going to last. And I think that's what Chris is keying in on with our relationship with the schools is being more proactive and teaching and working with each other to use each other's strengths. Because if there was an incident at one of the schools, we need to have the admin come into the command post with law enforcement and fire, work together. They need to understand what our plan is, what we're doing. We're going to have to work, because I know one of our weaknesses in our program is the reunification component. because what would happen is all the parents are going to come to the school, but that's not what we need. That's not what we want. That could actually disrupt the incident. So we need to start working towards improving the reunification plans in the event we have something. Mm. And that's going to be individual schools. It's not going to be Humboldt County Office of Education leading that, because every school is going to have different needs.
That's what I was thinking, sure. Chris, as Sean was referencing. If we have, let's say, the next earthquake, you got three kids, three schools.
Yeah, okay. What are you going to do, Mom? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And let's say one of the parents is out of town.
Yep.
Okay, you're going to go to three different schools trying to there's got to be a way. And maybe it's one of these app things if everything on the technical side stays open.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are, and you talk about the nature of, you mentioned Garfield versus, I think, Arcata, how you said, and yeah, what a difference. Between facilities, and think about 31 different districts in Humboldt County. So being rural, we have a whole different challenge than our more urban counterparts.
But flexibility too. You don't have to worry about buildings falling down, like you would like in San Francisco or the Bay Area.
Less type of damage in those regards, but just more complexity as far as transportation goes and accessibility, and like you said, three kids and perhaps three different schools, and how far apart are they and all that. But, the thing is, Humboldt County Schools are doing a really good job. And so are law enforcement and emergency personnel. We can just continue to get better. But our folks do a fantastic job planning and preparing. But you never have it fully dialed. And we're looking for new ways to continue just to improve the communication. We were talking at the school law enforcement meeting about how we prepare and design school safety plans and who's responsible for what. And it was interesting. I learned a new process of we're at schools are real comfortable with assigning people, like you're on the safety team, you're on the search and rescue team, you're on the student checkout team, and then you look at your list a year or two later and you realize those people are gone. So who's on the search and rescue this year? And so
who's on the maintenance team?
Yeah, who's doing what, right? Yeah. And that's constant maintenance, keeping that up. And so that if I'm teacher X, I know what is expected of me. Somebody has to let that person know what's expected of them. And like Sean said earlier, they need to be comfortable with that role. So it's a constant process that we want to get.
The in-service training programs are professional development. Isn't that what you guys call it now?
Absolutely. Hey, okay. You got that one right. Good job.
Yeah, good. It speaks volumes of something. When you sit down and you go through some of these protocols, or before the school year starts, in mid-August, are these the times when you kind of walk through these programs and try to figure out who's what, where, and how, and here's how it's changed from last year we put this generator building over here so you can't do what you were going to do, and kind of refresh on these things, or is it just kind of presumed that is taken care of and you move on?
Yeah, each school will do it slightly differently, utilizing whatever times that they have carved out for faculty meetings perhaps. But so you have your whole in-servicing with your staff and explaining your procedures, but you also have a lot of work behind the scenes that the administration is doing with folks like Sean and police and different agencies about, they do a lot of meetings just together planning to plan, and then you roll out like what's expected for everybody as a group. And I would imagine, Sean, you attend a lot of those type of sessions.
We do, and we try to encourage the staff not to tie names to specific assignments, because if someone calls in sick that day, your whole plan kind of goes out. And our fire department uses incident command every day. We use it every incident we go to. Law enforcement, not so much, because they're usually a single resource, but we've tried to encourage the schools to use it for dances, football games, so that they're familiar with it, and then just identify the jobs that need to be done and make people aware of all those different jobs so that they don't have to learn just one thing and there's no name attached to it. So that's what we're working with some of the schools now and trying to improve that side of things.
Generalists, not experts.
Yes.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Final couple minutes. You guys, you're down to 2 minutes here on the Comedy Act, and it's not really been hitting the numbers so far. The early returns are saying we're a little soft on this one.
The early returns, are you're getting some emails right now.
Yeah.
The instant feedback.
Yeah. Oh, the concept with training and in-service, whether it's for incidents, working with folks who are off campus and on campus, how difficult is it to develop a language that's in common? Because I know public safety, you guys have got your own jargon, Sean. Chris, certainly education is known for having its own.
We're pretty good at that.
How do you drop some letters and add some information and get everybody on the same wavelength?
Well, I think it's a really good point. Because Sean could talk to an educator at a school site and drop all of his acronyms and different things, and I'd have no idea what he's talking about. So that's what the Incident Command System protocol actually does, though. And the schools should be utilizing that process in their emergency plans. And that model is built to be interagency and be a common language for folks, but only if you actually use it. And only if you actually train with it, right? So now, there's a design for it. It's just that we need to implement it.
Yeah, for clarity of communication.
Absolutely.
Is there a role for parents?
There
Whether
can
it's
be.
PTA or just, okay, I'm here. Do you guys need any help?
There certainly can be, depending on your site and depending on your situation. So you look at a relocation center or a relocation zone, or if you have like an earthquake type of situation where you're doing parent check-ins that are picking up children, they could be volunteering. You know, some schools have a really active parent groups, others don't. So it's really site-specific. But I think parents can be a fantastic asset to us if they're given clear expectations of where your lane is and how we need your help, right? And so, but that's with everybody. So it is a community commitment, you know, that that we work together for the best safety of our kids.
Sean, if anybody wants any more information about this stuff, is this the kind of thing you wouldn't mind sitting down and spending 15, 20 minutes with them?
We'd be happy to. We love to work with the community and be proactive again. We can utilize community members at the school level. We have teams within the fire department that are specific to community members, so we'd be happy to.
Not 911. Use the office number.
Use 825-2000.
All righty, guys. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.